Thank you, Sharon and Hector. I appreciate all the ones that have helped the music during the mission conference. It's had a mission theme to it, and I appreciate that very much. Tonight's our final night. We started off Wednesday night, had the foreign missions night, and then Thursday night had our home missions. And that was real good. How many of you were here Thursday night? How many of you saw the snowstorm that Brother Pitts got lost in on the picture? He's a con man, whether you know it or not. I was sitting there, and he run the screen down, Brother Tom, and he said, this picture I had taken in a snowstorm, and I looked, and I couldn't see nothing. And I thought, well, it's the angle I'm setting at. So I got up and moved over, and it was a blank screen. Shouldn't treat old preachers like that. No telling how much reward he lost in heaven. Amen. All right. It's been a good meeting. We've had a good time with it. And boy, we were blessed this morning in Sunday school hearing the testimonies of the missionaries. And last Wednesday night, testimonies and preaching. I'm going to ask Brother Tom to come on, and he's going to do like he's done here and introduce the men to us tonight.
Thank you, Pastor, so much. So we've had a great time here today and yesterday, and Senior Patriots and so forth, and just really stirring the songs tonight. Lift up your eyes, and for such a time as this, wow, is that not a tremendous thought for as it applies to missions? And then your theme, the world at our doorstep. I was trying to figure that out, actually, because it's got a keyhole there. So what unlocks the key to the world? What unlocks the door to the world? How about missions giving? Would that do it? That would really open the door, wouldn't it? Amen. So let's just do what we can. Amen. We have two fellows who are going to be giving a testimony tonight, and Brother Ryan and Brother Jose, if you'll come at this time. Brother Jose Solano is a missionary in Mexico, and God has used him in a great way. He's got a phenomenal testimony about what God's, how God spared his life. And then, of course, Brother Ryan Thompson that was here the other night preaching, and he's going to interpret or interrupt as he needs to. So we appreciate him. We couldn't do it without him. He came just to help with the translation of two of our national pastors didn't speak a lick of English. And so we've had a great 2.5 months with them. They're gonna share for a few minutes. And then Brother Joseph Kawaya. Amen? Joseph Kawaya. That's him. He said, if you need to remember my name, just say, Joseph Hawaya. So that's why I say, hey, Hawaya. He said, that's me. So, amen. He's gonna come and give a testimony as well tonight and share a little bit with you, okay? All right.
Tenga muy buenas noches, pueblo del Señor.
A very good night, house of the Lord.
Yo vengo de México, del estado de Oaxaca.
I come from Mexico, from the state of Oaxaca.
Para darles mi testimonio.
To give you my testimony.
Lo cual he sufrido allá por predicar el bendito evangelio del Señor.
Of the which I've suffered over there for preaching the blessed gospel of the Lord.
Allá la gente es muy católica.
Over there the people are very Catholic.
Yo también era católico.
Likewise, I also was a Catholic.
Pero gracias a Dios a unos misioneros que llegaron.
But thanks to God at some missionaries that arrived.
Del estado de Morelos.
From the state of Morelos.
Me hablaron de Jesucristo.
They spoke to me of Jesus Christ.
Y me dieron unos folletitos.
And they gave me some literature.
Donde hablaba que Jesucristo da vida eterna.
Where they told me that Jesus Christ gives eternal life.
Entonces yo me sentí muy agradecido con el Señor.
Therefore I felt very grateful toward the Lord.
Y dije, voy a predicar tu evangelio.
And I said, I'm going to preach the gospel.
Primeramente les hablé a mis hermanos carnales.
First of all, I spoke to my carnal brethren.
Y después a los vecinos.
And then to some neighbors.
Y luego algunos familiares.
And then to some family relatives.
fue que se hizo la congregación.
And that is how we made a congregation.
Y alabamos al Señor allá en mi casa.
And we praise the Lord there in my house.
Pero los primeros servicios de adoración,
but the first worship services,
el pueblo se enojó conmigo y las autoridades.
The town was angry with me and also the authorities.
Me amenazaban que se iba a juntar el pueblo.
They threatened me that they were going to get together the town.
Y me iban a apedrear.
And they were going to throw stones at me.
Porque decían que en la casa mía no se podía alabar al Señor.
Because they said in my house you're not able to praise the Lord.
Que solamente en su templo de ellos.
That only in their temple.
Pero yo les decía que allá alababa yo un Dios vivo.
But I told them.
Verdadero.
Otra vez.
Porque allá alababa yo un Dios vivo y verdadero.
I said over there I serve a true and living God.
Que hizo el cielo y la tierra y todo el universo.
That made the heaven and the earth and all the universe.
Y allá en su iglesia de ellos se alababa un Dios muerto que no tenía poder.
And over there in the church that you guys have, you serve a dead God that doesn't have power.
Por eso más se enojaban conmigo.
For this reason, they were even angrier with me.
Siempre los problemas me buscaban.
And they always sought problems regarding me.
Porque no querían que se predicaba el bendito evangelio de nuestro Señor.
Because they didn't want me to preach the blessed gospel of our Lord.
Pero gracias a Dios, todo lo he logrado.
But thanks to God, I've been able to achieve all
por la ayuda de nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
By the help of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Por predicar el Señor,
for preaching the Lord,
un matón, un asesino,
an assassinator,
me abalació,
he shot me
en 1991.
In 1991.
Fue la fiesta del 24 y 25 de enero.
It was the feast, the 24th and the 25th of January.
Me mandó traer la autoridad.
They sent for me the authorities.
Para que yo cooperara con cerveza.
So that they wanted me to cooperate with beer, soda.
Y pollos.
And chicken.
Para que le diera de comer sus invitados.
So that I can give this to their invitees.
Y yo les dije que no podía yo ayudarlos.
And I told them I was not able to help them.
Entonces ellos me dijeron.
And therefore they told
si
me.
Si no me ayudas a cooperar.
If you don't help me, if you do not cooperate.
Pero tienes unas cuerdas largas.
Do you have some long ropes?
Préstalas para amarrarlos la madera del corral de toros.
Loan us them so that we can use them for our bull racing.
Y yo se las presté.
And I loaned them them.
Cuando pasó la fiesta.
When the party was over.
Me mandó a traer para que yo fuera a recoger las cuerdas.
They sent for me to collect again the ropes.
Y me encontré con el asesino antes de llegar al palacio.
And I met there with this assassinator before I arrived to the ring.
Y él andaba tomando.
And he was drinking.
Y me invitaba a una cerveza.
And he invited me to have a beer.
Y yo le dije que no tomaba.
And I told him I don't drink.
Entonces él me dijo, tómate una.
And he told me, take one.
Entonces yo le dije que no tomaba.
And I told him I do not drink.
Entonces este hombre se retiró hacia atrás.
This man, therefore, he stood back like this.
Y sacó una pistola 45 que tenía.
He took out a 45 pistol that he had.
Y me empezó a balacear.
And he began to shoot me.
Me pegó el primer balazo aquí en el estómago.
The first shot struck me here in the stomach.
Y después me puse por un lado a ver si podían pasar las balas por un lado.
Then I put myself like this so that I can see if by chance the bullets would pass me on the side.
Pero no entraron aquí, salieron para acá este lado.
But no, they entered there and just exited on this side.
Tengo tres balazos aquí en la caja del cuerpo.
I have three bullets right here by my stomach.
Y tengo dos aquí en la pierna.
And I have two here in my leg.
Por eso no puedo caminar bien.
For this reason, I'm not able to walk well.
Cuando yo caí al suelo,
when I fell to the floor,
yo le dije a mi Señor,
I said to my Lord,
Padre,
Father,
tú me formaste en el vientre de mi madre,
you formed me in the womb of my mother,
y tú vas a cerrar mis heridas,
and you're going to heal my wounds.
En eso se empezó a juntar la gente para ver lo acontecido,
and the people began to come together to see what was happening.
Y cayó un familiar mío,
and there was a family relative of mine there,
que buscó una camioneta para que me llevaran al hospital,
that looked for a car to be able to carry me to the hospital.
Pero de allí al hospital,
but from there to the hospital,
son dos horas de camino.
It's a 2-hour journey.
Y a medio camino iba yo.
And halfway there was I.
Cuando empecé a vomitar sangre.
When I began to vomit up blood.
Entonces yo le dije al conductor.
Therefore I told the driver.
Regréseme a mi casa.
Take me to my home.
Para que yo muera contento.
So that I can die happily.
Pero allí iba mi esposa y mi mamá.
But there was my wife and my mother.
Y ellos dijeron no.
And they said no.
Te vamos a llevar al doctor.
We're going to carry you to the doctor.
Si mueres, pero mueres en manos de un doctor.
If you die, you're going to die in the hands of a doctor.
Y así fue como llegué con bien.
And that was how I arrived well.
Allá me abrieron.
There they opened me.
Así me tuvieron un mes.
they had me like that for 1 month
diario,
so that they can continue washing me daily.
Al mes me cerraron,
at the end of the month, they closed me up.
Tuvieron 15 días,
and there was I 15 days.
Y me dieron mi retiro,
and they gave me a discharge.
Estuve allá en mi casa recuperándome,
I was there in my house recuperating.
Pero en el 2001,
but in 2001,
le dije a la congregación, vamos a hacer un aniversario.
I said to the congregation that we're going to do an anniversary.
Y sí lo hicimos, gracias a Dios.
And we did it, thanks to God.
Todos los invitados llegaron.
All the invitees arrived.
Nos gozamos con nuestro Señor.
We rejoiced with our Lord.
Pero siempre el pueblo estaba enojado y me mandaba a traer.
But the town was always angry, they sent for me.
Y siempre me amenazaba.
They always threatened me.
Y gracias a Dios el segundo año también lo volvimos a hacer.
Thanks to God, the second year we returned to do it.
Pero el pueblo se enojó.
But the town got angry.
Se puso en la entrada.
They put themselves by the entrance.
Con palos y piedras.
With sticks and stones.
Y no dejaron entrar ninguno.
And they wouldn't let anyone enter.
Me quedé con mis gastos porque se echaron a perder.
They made me lose my expenses because
porque allá no tenemos refri para guardar la comida.
Because over there we do not have a refrigerator to guard it.
Pero el segundo, el tercer año, el 2003,
but the third year in 2003,
lo volvimos a hacer.
We returned to do it.
Y gracias a Dios, toditos nuestros invitados llegaron.
But thanks to God, all of our invitees arrived.
Pero la autoridad municipal,
but the authorities from the municipality,
mandó a traerme,
they sent that I present myself,
que yo me hiciera presente.
They called for me that I present myself.
Llegué y los saludé y le dije en qué le podía yo servir.
I arrived and I asked them, I saluted them and I asked, how can I serve you?
Entonces él me dijo, mira,
they said, look,
tanto que te hemos hablado que no hagas esos servicios en tu casa.
How much we've told you not to do these feasts in your house.
Pero tú eres muy opuesto.
But you're very opposing.
Por eso te vamos a castigar.
For this reason, we're going to punish you.
Me mandaron a la cárcel.
They sent me to prison.
Estuve 2 días.
I was there 2 days.
Y una noche.
And one night.
Me sacaron.
They released me.
Fui a defender mi derecho.
I went to defend my rights.
A gobernación.
To the government officials.
Le puse que fueran a investigar que cuál era el motivo que yo había recibido la cárcel.
They said they would investigate the cause of the which I was sent to prison.
Y llegó un empleado del gobierno.
An employee of the government arrived.
Y los empezó a investigar.
And began to investigate us.
Y ellos dijeron que porque no cooperaba yo en las fiestas.
And they asked why would you cooperate in the feast.
Que andaba yo sembrando una mala semilla.
And I was sowing bad seed.
Que ya la gente no quería cooperar por causa mía.
And he said, no, the people do not want to cooperate because of you.
Pero gracias a Dios en todo he salido vencedor.
But thanks to God in everything I left a conqueror.
Por la ayuda de nuestro Dios.
By the help of our God.
Como dice el texto.
As the text says.
En segunda de Corintios.
In 2 Corinthians.
4:8-9.
2 Corinthians 4 verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed.
Y gracias a Dios,
and thanks to God,
aquí estoy.
Here I am.
Porque con el Dios poderoso no van a poder.
Because, perdón.
Porque con el Dios poderoso no van a poder.
Because with the powerful God, they're not going to be able to.
Y no van a poder parar su obra bendita.
They're not going to be able to stop his blessed work.
Amen. A nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
And to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Sea la honra y la gloria.
Be the honor and the glory.
Por los siglos y por los siglos.
For the centuries and centuries.
Amen.
Amen.
Gracias le doy al pastor que me ha dado la oportunidad.
Thanks I give to the pastor for giving me the opportunity.
De dar mi testimonio.
To give my testimony.
Y la iglesia de Dios.
And to the church of God.
Su atención.
For giving me your attention.
Que Dios los bendiga.
May God bless you.
Amen.
Think about this just a moment. There's some folks paying a great price around the world to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and be a testimony for him. If we go out and knock a door and somebody's unkind to us, we think that's bad, don't we? But I hope you got a little idea of the price this man paid to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and not not compromise his convictions. I don't know if you got it completely or not, but they had to leave his insides on the outside for a long time before they were even able to put them back. And yet God took him through something that should have killed him instantly almost. That many bullets from that larger gun had to be a miracle of God that he was here tonight to give us that testimony. Amen. Appreciate it so much. Certainly do. Brother Tom, you come on up and introduce the last man, if you would, here.
Amen. Brother Joseph, why don't you come ahead and get right on to it here. Brother Joseph's from Kenya, Africa, and doing a great work over there. He's got a very interesting testimony of how God allowed him to build a church. And I don't know how much he's going to tell you about that, but God's allowed him to not only start a church, but start a Bible Institute in this small church and start a bunch of churches out of it. And that's what it's all about. Amen?
Good evening, everyone. I almost said good morning because it's morning in Kenya now. My name is Joseph Haoya Ofula. And as a brother Tom said, you can say, Joseph, how are you? Because that's the only way you can easily pronounce the second name, Haoya. I was saved when I was 19 years of age, and God has been faithful to lead me through the life of spiritual life. He led me to Jesus through a preacher, a Baptist preacher who came by my place, and I thank God that he led me to Jesus and I got saved. I'm married, and God has placed us with 4 children, 3 girls and 1 boy. God called me in his service in the year 2001, when I was still a young man by that age, and he led us away from our church to kind of begin a new church. I still remember how we went out, and we started the work, and I thank God that when we went to begin the church, he really had prepared where we had to go. Though in the beginning it looked like it could not work because we went at a place where there was no people. It was just a new residence. People are starting to go there, to start life there, and therefore there were no places to rent a house for worship. Neither could you get a place to rent a building for living. So I got assisted by one man who was a farmer by that place, and he gave me a small place to start a church. That was in the year 2001. And when we had to start a church from there, we led people to Jesus. But the problem was, one, this man was a Seventh-day Adventist who had given us assistance to live on his property. And therefore, he could not allow us to begin a Baptist church on his property. Therefore, we had to pray for quite some time, because about a whole month that the following one, we had about 10, 15 people saved, but nowhere to worship. And I recall we had to pray because I almost gave up. I thought of going back to where I had just come from, because now I had nowhere to worship, though people were saved. But I thank God he gave me strength with my wife, and he led us to a wonderful building to begin worshiping. And it really worked good for us. And that was a tree just nearby where we were living. Next to the house where we lived, there was a road, and there were big trees on the road. So he led us to begin our services under that tree. I thank God for that building, because nobody asked us for rent, and we never had a trouble with anybody. Until about 3-4 months, because it's around September when I started the church, and therefore between the month of October around there, heading towards December and January, we have what we call summer here. There's no rains. So we had good services and we enjoyed. We could sing and really see Christ within us. But after that, things started to change when it came to March, whereby the rains had to start. So I still recall by that time, things started going bad. We had to learn how to go without proper services. But I thank God there's no single Sunday when I didn't preach because of the rain. Because having been trained in college for about three years, from 1995 to 1997, I already had proper knowledge of how to handle a church and rush up with anything that could come up. So I trained myself to do what we call running services. So you do, you are in service but ready to run, because when the rains are to come, had to get going. So I thank God that we went into that. Several times I had my Bible soaked with water, and some of my members also had the same problem, though most of them didn't have the Bible, they just had their own books. By that time, it was difficult to have a Bible. I thank God for Help Ministries, who have been able to help us get Bibles as of now, and most people have Bibles. By that time, it was only the pastor, it was me who had the Bible. So the rest had their own books. But we went on to pray about the same thing, and God had to give another provision right from the same place. After leading a Muslim man to Jesus, he spent some time in the church, nervous, a coward, he could not be free with anybody. He didn't believe people had accepted him, because when he got saved, everybody used to fear him. He was a very wild, harsh man. So people feared him. But I kept encouraging him to feel he was loved, and I loved him. Until God used him to help us try to find a place for worship. And that's how God worked through that. After praying with this man, he came up with an idea that he could help us make bricks so that we could sell and get a place for worship, which was a good idea, and I liked it. But it was a problem still, because making bricks meant we needed land. You can't dig on anybody's land. So I had to question him what we could do, because now we didn't have a place to get the soil or to dig the soil to make the bricks. And neither did I know how to make the bricks myself. Had never made it before. But he encouraged me. He said, I know how to do it. I'll supervise, I'll lead, and I'll make everything move. And then asked him, where shall we get the soil for this? Then we had to pray. And soon and very soon, we didn't go far. God had to give us another way. Just next to the very tree we were worshiping on that same road, there was a big termite mound. I think you understand termites. Do you know termites? Yeah. We have them in Kenya, and they make very big mounds. So just next to our tree was a big termite mound, just right on the road. And because the residence was still new, the government had not worked on the road, so that hill that stood there is the one that God used. So I had to visit the government, we call them chiefs around that place, local government, to request for authority to use that mound. Anyway, I wouldn't tell him I wanted to make bricks to sell for a church, because that man was not saved, and I knew that, so he could refuse. I went in wanting to help the community. I told him I want to help the community so that we dig off the big mound from the road for easy grading when they come to work on it. And the man got excited. He said, I've never heard of a pastor wanting to work for a community. So he allowed me to go and work on that mound. And I thank God that God provided soil now that we needed from the mount. And therefore we dug the mount, we worked on it for 9 months. For the around the first year, we managed to get the first bunch of bricks, 10,000 of them. Then we sold and then bought a piece of property, and we built Joy Baptist Church. That's where I'm pastoring for the last 15 years. On that same property, God had enabled us to start a program of church planting, and so far we have planted 30 churches right from Joy Baptist Church. And that same place, because I had to begin church planting using what we call Jesus film program. I used to show cinemas of Jesus Christ outside in the bushes. I went to the bush side or the countryside of Kenya. And because people there had never seen a TV before, they were excited to come in large numbers. I got so many people get saved, so it forced me to plant churches. And therefore, I needed preachers. So that led me to start a small Bible college on that same property, whereby we are now training men for the gospel ministry. And so far, every church we have planted has a pastor to pastor it. And I'm still training more men. And coming on the 10th of December, I'm graduating another lot of 24 guys. And I'm sending them out, going with them in my program of Jesus film, and planting more churches. Keep praying for us. And that's what God's helping us to do. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today. Amen. Allow me to share with you the word of God within a very short time. And I thank God that has given us this opportunity. Turn with me into your Bibles in the book of Matthew chapter 21. The message today is untying tied things. untying tied things. The book of Matthew chapter 21 is speaking about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And that's the time where he was just about to go into crucifixion. I know you have studied the Bible and you might be understanding that. And then he had to send his disciples, and we want to see what the Bible says about it. I'll read from verse 1 through verse 4. Then I'll read verse 6 and then verse 10. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. He sent two disciples, mark that, not one, two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. Verse 6. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this word that is for me. Lord, use me as a vessel to speak to your people. God, speak through me by your Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible is talking about some animals that are not very much liked by many people, or maybe are not very important, if you can imagine about them. And this is just an ass, a donkey, if I can call it. And Jesus is talking about the donkey rather than talking about a horse. I expect that Jesus would have talked about a horse, not a donkey, because he wanted to enter into a city, a big city of Jerusalem, a renowned spiritual city that everyone of us as a Christian knows. And the Bible says that he wanted to get in, and he needed something to use to get into the city. And therefore, he had to order his disciples to go and get him an ass that he could use to get into Jerusalem. This is awesome, huh? I was trying to meditate and think about this text here and asked myself, why didn't Jesus tell the disciples to go and get a big horse, a nice one, so that he could get into Jerusalem as a king on a horse, not an ass? Then I drew back and see the Bible, how Jesus has been working. Every other time, Jesus has tried to magnify. I mean, he has come to manifest himself through weak things, through things that are unknown. And here he does with an ass. And he says he sends his disciples to go into the village. There was a village just nearby where they were. And he says that there in the village, there was an ass tied. I don't know for how long it had been there, but the Bible says it was tied. And it was not alone. It was with a colt. In other words, the young one of his own. The young one is also tied. If you read the book of Mark chapter 11 verse 1, the Bible talks about the colt also being tied. So both of them were tied. But Jesus says, go and untie them. Go and loose them. Go and get them. Why? I have need of them. And then the disciples were sent in two. I wonder why he needed them to go in two. Maybe he thought about the ass and the cold, or maybe he was afraid maybe the ass might not be easy to respond. I don't know. But he sent two. I believe this was a Baptistic way of handling things in evangelism. Yeah. Go two by two, right, or more than two. So the Bible says in verse 6, the disciples went. And he says that people might not be happy to see you untie the ass. That some people might not want to see you get that ass to me. But he tells them that should somebody question about the ass, just tell them the Lord has need of them. Right. Yeah. And then the Bible says they went. How faithful the disciples were. Amen. They had no question. None of them said, where did Jesus? They went. And when they went, the Bible speaks about getting this ass and the call to Jesus. And here we are learning that Jesus had to get onto this ass and had to get into Jerusalem. And the Bible says that he got there.
And when he got there, the multitudes were amazed. Amen? They were amazed. All of them were looking at Jesus on an ass, and they were asking, who is this man that's coming first? Yeah. Then some answered and said, this Jesus is the prophet of Nazareth. What am I trying to talk about, my brethren? Here we have got some people who are very important. I want to talk about you and me. One fine day or one bad day in our lives, we were tied somewhere in some stretching of life. Because the devil threw us off from Satan, and then he had to lock us down, and then we could not be able to walk, we could not be able to realize the goodness of our Lord. People were sick because we were dying in our lives of every day, and things that were not worthy before God.
No. Amen.
Jesus had compassion for us.
Amen.
Amen. How I imagine of the day Jesus sent somebody to say, there is a brother, there is a man somewhere, there is a lady somewhere who is tied in a situation, who is tied in some sickness, who is tied in some fear, who is tied in some situation that needs to be loosed so that I can use him for myself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And that happened.
Yes.
The Bible says the disciples went.
Amen.
Right? Jesus still is seeing the ass outside there even now. We have got several asses still dying outside there. And the asses are not alone. They have their coats with them. We have got men and ladies with their children. We have got men and ladies with their friends. While they are outside there, they are both in a situation of being tied. They are bound by the devil. They cannot be used of God. God wants somebody to go. And this time round as I'm speaking, he wants me or you to go and untie them. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, let somebody go and untie them. It's you and me to go. The Bible says the disciples went without asking a question. Are you ready to go if Jesus wants you to go?
Amen.
He doesn't tell the distance. He doesn't know. I mean, he's not telling us how much time you will be there when we go. But what he knows is one thing. He wants us to untie them and get them to him.
Yeah. Right.
People are lost in seasons in somebody to lose them from the chain of the devil.
Amen.
We have to go. It is me and you. And Jesus wants somebody to ride on. Anyway, he's able to go alone. Jesus can do anything. He's God. He's able to turn the world upside down. He can order once that everybody can be saved. But the plan of God is that you and me be used and be co-workers with Christ.
Amen.
That's why he says go. Yes. Whom shall I send? Isaiah says, here I am.
Yes.
What answer would you give? How I wish you would say, it's our time to go and lose them. They are tied in their sin. They need somebody to lose them. God bless you. I should be ready to go. That's what I want to say.
Amen.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this time that you've given me, Lord. Outside there, people are tied in their sins. The devil is messing them up their lives. Lord, they need somebody to go for them. Use this charge. Thank you, Lord, for the pastor. Thank you for the whole congregation. How I imagine if every one of us will go out to lose those people from their sins. By your word, by your gospel, oh God. How great that day will be, that they will be used of you when they get into the church. Use us according to your will. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Let's bow our heads a moment. Think about what we've heard tonight in the message from both these men. What a price was paid for that man's testimony being shot to pieces. Then this man talking about what they went through to get a church and to get the job done. And then the message from the Word of God, how good it is to realize God's got something for us to do, and that's to go get sinners loose from where they're tied. The comparison of the ass to the lost sinner is made real clear in the book of Job. It says, we are born like a wild ass's colt. In other words, we got to have somebody to reach us and bring us to Jesus.
Amen.
Could be you're here tonight and you've never received Christ. You're still tied up in your sin. Maybe somebody's tried to untie you, but you didn't understand they meant good. You resent it. Could be tonight would be the night you could become free, untied, loose from the devil, and come to the Lord Jesus. I don't know, in the crowd tonight we could have somebody that needs to come to Christ. Here we've got missionaries from around the world witnessing out in the bush and in some bad circumstances, yet here in America where we've got it easy and soft compared to that, people around us still tied up in sin and when they could be set free. I want to ask that we stand for prayer, and we'll have an invitation verse, and whatever God's asked you to do, it could be something besides getting saved. If you're saved, maybe you need to join a church or get baptized or rededicate a life or surrender to the mission field, whatever God's spoken to you about. Most important, be sure you're saved. Be sure you're saved. Father, may you bless in the invitation tonight. Thank you for the testimonies we've heard. Thank you, Lord, that you're not limited to just our community and our nation, but around the world you're working. And you're using men like we heard from this morning and tonight, and I thank you for that. Lord, help us to not be complacent and satisfied. Lord, you're looking down on the whole world. You're seeing the situation as these men have come from and witnessed about, as well as you see ours. Lord, help us here, so blessed of you, to do more, to send the gospel, to get sinners untied. Bless the invitation, I pray. If there's one here unsaved, may they come tonight and get saved. Bless us, Father, to not play church, but be more dedicated as the time draws to a conclusion before you come back. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name.